Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Conversations Live. For more than a decade, we've brought you the best in books, entertainment, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us first. Now, here's your host, Cyrus Webb.
And welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again. Author K.S. Oliver is going to be making her first appearance on our program this year to talk to us not only about her love of writing, but what it's been like for her to share her gift of storytelling, but also to entertain and to be able to address issues that matter to her along the way. She's been able to do this, addressing issues like bullying, as well as, of course, illnesses that many of us have heard about, but being able to humanize characters with them. We're going to talk to her about that and what it's been like for her to hear from her readers also about how much they appreciate the work that she's been able to do. If you're just now hearing about KS, we're going to tell you a little bit later how you can stay connected with her, as well as how you can get her book, Flatline Resuscitated. KS, hello to you, and welcome to Conversations Live.
Hi, how are you?
Hey, doing really good. Glad you could join us today. As I said, we're going to be talking a little bit later about Flatline Resuscitated, but KS, what has it been like for you as you've been able to see the way that your fans have responded to your work? What has it been like for you to see the way that, the characters have really been speaking to them?
It's exciting and it's humbling. You know, I'm glad that I could help other people. I'm glad that people respond to me the way that they do, because you never really know what's going to happen when you give people a raw and uncut version of who you are.
Right, exactly. So when it came to this writing journey for you, I mean, when did you first realize that you had a voice when it came to writing that you wanted to share?
You know, I remember when I first came into the business, when I, you know, first was telling my story, and that's kind of, you know, just what I was telling. It's like, you know, I'm dealing with this, I'm dealing with that. I wasn't even quite sure I was going to be a writer yet. And you had some people who felt sorry for me, some people who thought it was a bunch of bull that I was trying to get attention. And then you got some people that were like, oh, my God, you're okay with saying this? You know, kudos to you. So I've had all different ends of it. It just depends on the day and the person.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, so talk to us about the decision. I mean, was it an easy one for you to come to be able to let people know who you are as an individual? Because a lot of times people in your industry will try to separate the personal them from the professional them. Was it easy for you to be able to merge the two together?
You know, it was very easy because lupus is a part of me, so it wasn't hard to merge the two together. I'm who I am because I was diagnosed. You know, it changed me a lot. I started writing because I was diagnosed and I needed an outlet. So there was no separating the two. I'm going to separate it now, you know, just the difference between me being a writer and a lupus survivor. But I mean, I'm always going to be who I am. I'm just going to dip into a different genre, and I hope that people, you know, receive me the same way.
Yeah, yeah. I think that is the great thing about a KS is that you have not been able to, you know, to be defined by it. As you realize, just like anyone that's going through an illness or going through something in their lives, it's a part of who they are, but it doesn't have to define them. Have you found that one of the great things about sharing your story has been that other people have said, you know what, this is my story too. I just didn't realize that other people were out there, or I didn't realize that I could find the courage to be able to talk about it.
I found a lot of people like that. I have a support group on Facebook, a lupus group, where, you know, I talk to people. Try to inspire each other and just create an outlet for, you know, the things they've been diagnosed with. I'm also releasing a magazine with Dominique Watkins, is the actual owner and publisher of the magazine called Tennessee. Mm-hmm. There will be a lupus edition that will release on the 31st. And it's called Lupus is My Uninvited Guest, My Unwelcome Guest. And it's basically to say nobody asked for these things to happen to them. These are just kind of things that just present itself, and you just learn to deal with them. So it's giving, you know, lupus survivors a platform to tell their story. Everybody's story is so different. It has taken me so long to put this magazine together, and I'm still working on it. I'm not going to lie. It releases in 10 days, and I'm not finished with it. And it's because I'm having a hard time getting through everybody's stories. Because as I read them, you know, some people have worse issues than me. But the fact of the matter is, it could very well be me. My body could react to this disease the same way as somebody else's.
Right.
So that's where I'm running into the brick wall at is, okay, this is not me. This is her story, but it could be mine. Because something can go wrong tomorrow, and I could be dealing with this same side effect as this other person.
right, exactly. And yet you're able to smile, KS. I noticed on the Twitter page, you know, your picture there with your smiling. I mean, have you found that one of the important things for you has been to still be able to keep your joy in spite of the challenges, in spite of the difficulties, and in spite of the bad days, being able to still looking for a reason to smile?
I have to. I have children, and I have a husband. Nobody wants to deal with anybody who's pouting and complaining all the time. You know, I know that I go through things that are sometimes trying. I get that, but I've been going through the same stuff for 5 years. I'm not going to wake up every day of my life in pure misery, because that's exactly what the devil wants from me anyway. I'm just not going to do it. I prefer to be happy and to try to be me that I don't get in my feelings. Because I do. I have my moments. Yesterday was a very hard day for me. You know, I released my book, but it also was 5 years to the day that I was diagnosed. It was also 5 years to the day that I flatlined. So, you know, while people think, oh, okay, well, she's still here, she shouldn't be upset, the fact of the matter is this, I still have to live with this chronic illness every day. My day doesn't start the same way as yours. I have to get up and take multiple pills in the morning to make sure that I get through the day without a whole lot of pain, because there's always some sort of pain. Still, you know, that bittersweet moment in that, because although I've learned to deal with it, I'd rather not have to.
Right.
And that's just what it is.
Exactly, exactly. And there's people around the world that can definitely relate to that. Again, for those who are just tuning in, you're listening to Conversations Live. KS Oliver is our guest. We're talking to her now about her journey as an author, but what it's been like for her to share her journey as an individual, to be able to talk to us about what she's been able to deal with in her life and how she's been able to survive day after day. So let's talk about Flatline. You referenced that. Resuscitated is the new project. But even before that, you know, you've dealt with other issues in the past, KS, like bullying and being able to tackle things for different ages. Do you feel as though that's kind of part of your responsibility with this platform, to be able to not only give someone something that's entertaining, but will make them think a little bit about things going on in the world?
Well, first and foremost, the children's books are a joint venture that I have with my children. And as I teach them to be entrepreneurs and to stand on their own two feet, I also teach them that their voice is important. So if you get people to listen to you, then you need to have something to say. And it doesn't mean just throwing out a bunch of foolishness. It's about educating. So when they write, I'd rather them write about something meaningful, something that people can relate to and something that people listen to. My oldest son was bullied for all of 2 days because his mama don't play.
Yeah. You know, I think there are a lot of parents out there that can relate to that. So that has to be great too, you know, for you to be able to show them what's possible as well, you know, to have that example for them, to let them say, you know what, if my mom can be able to deal with this and I can deal with situations that come up in my life. So when you hear from fans about not only the books, because that has to be a great feeling in itself to have them take out the time to write you about how something that you wrote has touched them, but just to tell you, you know what, keep it up, you know, keep it going. I mean, what has that been like for you to hear from total strangers, KS, to be able to inspire you to keep moving forward?
I mean, it's exciting to me, and it's humbling because, you know, you never really know when walking into a situation like being an author and being a public speaker and being an advocate for anything, whether or not people are going to listen to you. You know, I've found that being the pretty girl works in certain instances, but people don't always listen. You know, people don't always understand, you know, where you're coming from or why you're coming from this particular place, what made you choose, you know, this particular platform. You know, so you don't really have a clear understanding as to whether or not people are going to listen to you, but you kind of step out on faith and you take that leap and say, maybe, you know, maybe if I start talking, they'll start listening.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, this is my third year in the book business. This is my fourth year as a lupus advocate. And each year, people listen just a little bit more. Each year, it gets a little more exciting. Each year, I take a different stance. You know, each year, I say something different than I did the year before. I try to be as informative as possible.
Do you find that motivation for you at this point, I mean, really has to start within? Because it's great to be able to have people around you that are rooting for you, but you really have to be there to root for yourself.
I do. You know, I mean, I enjoy my readers. I appreciate them. But let's be real clear. I don't need anybody to validate anything that I do. Because at the end of the day, as long as I'm pleased with me and my children are pleased with me, God is pleased with me and my husband is pleased with me, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
And the bottom line is that I've done exactly what I'm supposed to do. Clearly, I believe that I didn't stay dead for a reason. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So the fact of the matter is that I have a purpose. And a lot of the times I think it's to inspire other people and to let them know that just because you hit a brick wall doesn't mean you can't break it down.
Right.
I didn't stop just because I got diagnosed with lupus and because it almost killed me. And I don't stop because I'm not feeling well and I'm in pain. Today was another rough day because I ran so much yesterday with the relief. I didn't stop to just breathe for a minute. I actually forgot to take my medicine, which wasn't a good idea. So, you know, it's a lot that comes with this. And I don't just speak to people who have lupus. I speak to people who have anything, any type of disease. I have a really good friend of mine who's in the business, and she inboxes me every other day. Oh, I'm so sick of this. I'm so tired of being tired. And I'm like, we're all sick and tired of being tired, but you shouldn't let it ruin your day.
Right. So take us back to last year. You referenced that. Take us back to Flatline Almost Doesn't Count. I mean, how did the idea for, you know, for this journey with Kai, how did it begin?
First of all, I'm just in love with that name. And I don't have any daughters. So I couldn't name a kid Kai. So, Kai is just like an alter ego of me. But the reason why Flatline Almost Doesn't Count even came about is because initially I dropped the poetry book called Still Standing on May 20th of 2013. That was my first book ever. And it did so well. I went to my first book signing 2 days after, sold all my books in one signing. You know, it was exciting, especially for a first-time writer. You don't know what you're getting into. You don't know how it's going to go. You don't know what people are interested in, who needs what. It's like you learn as you go. So this was so exciting. And then as I was talking to my readers and doing different things, I came to learn that they wanted more. They were like, well, wait a minute, between poem one and poem seven, something happened, and I feel like I'm missing something. So the more I talk to them, the more, you know, with poetry, you can either give them just enough, too much, or not enough.
Right.
And I did a little bit of both. There was a lot of holes in there because I just spoke about what I wanted to speak about at that point in time, whatever I needed to get off my chest. So it wasn't so much, you know, as trying to put it all out there. It was more trying to relieve that stress and just kind of get those things off my chest.
Mm-hmm.
So as people kept asking me, like, you know, what happened at this time and how did you find out this, I realized they had so many questions. And the reason they had so many questions is because I wasn't ready to be transparent yet. I was still kind of just speaking my mind, but I wasn't ready to tell the whole story. So a year later, I decided to tell the whole story. And the reason I titled it Flatline is because I actually did Flatline. And the reason I subtitled it Almost Doesn't Count is because I'm still here to tell you guys about it. So I'm not dead. I'm still here. For those who have read the first book, you'll notice that Kai is somewhat of a punching bag. You know, Kai gets diagnosed with lupus. She gets diagnosed with fibromyalgia. She gets diagnosed with fibrosis. She gets the lupus in the voice box. She gets the skin lupus. It was like every time she hit a doctor's office, they had more bad news for her. And she was just taking it. And she cried, and she was depressed, and she locked herself in a room because she didn't really know how to react. And I recall feeling that way. I remember all of that. Not that it's anything I want to remember because I'd rather stick it in a box and leave it there. But the fact is that I did that. I went through all of that. And then me and my husband weren't getting along just because I was going through my stuff. He had just come back from Iraq, and if you know anything about PTSD, he was going through his own stuff, and we just couldn't agree to disagree.
Right.
So I packed up and left the UK, and I moved back to the United States with my family. Well, that didn't help me much because I was still in a deep depression, and I had never been in a deep depression before, so I didn't realize change of scenery wasn't going to fix it for me. I had to fix it for myself. So, you know, once I went through all of that and I kind of came out of it, it was like, okay, now I'm going to start punching. And that's literally what I did. Everything that came my way, you know, I was like, nope, I'm not doing this. I was cursing people out. I was leaving me alone. You know, I started doing my own thing. I started writing, and I started going to these different lupus events and meeting different people who dealt with some of the same things that I dealt with. And as inspiring as everybody thinks that I am, I find them to be more inspiring than a little bit because sometimes I need it too.
Right.
So it helped. So that's where I came up with Resuscitated because it was like me reviving myself. Like, okay, girl, you are not going to sit around and whine and feel sorry for yourself. You're going to get up, and you're going to use it to your advantage. So I like to tell people lupus lives with me. It has to deal with me, and I'm a force to reckon with.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I want to talk about the cover for Flatline, Resuscitated, the new book that you were talking about, just released this week, and we'll be letting our listeners know, KS, how they can get it and stay connected with you. One of the things that caught my attention when I was prepping for the segment was the cover, mm-hmm. and of course you have the character Kai there, but the thing that I thought was interesting were the handcuffs. What can you tell us about that?
Well, the handcuffs represent two different things. If you notice, one side of the cuff is closed and one is open. And the side that's closed is more of a reference to part one, where I was in prison by myself. And, you know, I had all these diagnoses, and they were all stopping me from doing what I was supposed to be doing and what I wanted to do. So people think that, you know, the word imprisoned is just going to jail. It's not. You can be imprisoned within your own body. You can definitely be a prisoner to yourself. I locked myself in the house for eight weeks in my room with black curtains at my door. I didn't talk to anybody. I didn't want to talk to anybody. I wasn't sure what to do, how to do it, or anything. So I was definitely a prisoner in my own body. That's one point of it. Secondly, Kai goes to jail in part two because she lost her temper, and instead of her talking it out or dealing with it in any other way, she ends up with an assault charge.
Hmm.
So that's why there are handcuffs on the front of the book.
Gotcha. So now as we're reading it, we'll definitely be looking for those things. So, KS, you know, as you've gone throughout this, you know, already now, what, I guess, 2 days in, already it's a top 100 Amazon.com bestseller. I mean, what is your hope for readers? I mean, as they are learning about Kai from book one to book two and taking this journey and even learning more about you as a storyteller, what is your hope for them that they would be able to take away from Kai's experience?
Well, first and foremost, I got a message this morning that said that Kai in part two seemed unreal to part one. And although that was this person's opinion, I want to say this. She's not unreal. Kai in part two is more of my personality. I've always been a fighter. I've always been very blunt and very outspoken. I'm not a crybaby by any means necessary. But anytime you go through something as traumatic as what I went through, it can change you. I turned into a crybaby. I felt like the whole world was against me. I didn't want to talk to anybody. And clearly the person who wrote me that message has never went through anything because she seems to think that there's no way you can go from being so quiet, so laid back, and such a crybaby to being a fighter, and that's not true. You go through what I went through, and you either take it laying down or you get up and you fight back, and that's just what it is.
Right.
That's number one. Number two, I just want people to know that, you know, one monkey doesn't stop a show. You know, you go through things. I mean, I've been diagnosed with seven different things, and I'm just turned 30 in December. And within the next year or so, I'm liable to be diagnosed with more stuff. Of course, I don't want to, but I have an autoimmune disease that opens me up for any and everything. So I won't be surprised if they tell me I've gotten diagnosed with something else, and I take it with a grain of salt like I do with everything else. It just is what it is. It's not going to stop me from going where I want to go in life. It's not going to stop me from doing what I want to do. And I don't think anybody else should ever let anything stop them from what they want to do. You keep pushing with your goals and your ambitions, and you keep the devil up under your feet because that's where he belongs anyway.
There you go. And you hear it from someone who definitely knows firsthand. Again, everyone, author KS Oliver has been our guest today. We've been talking to her not only about the journey that's led her to be able to share her love of words, but also what it's been like for her to see how her words have been able to entertain as well as to inspire. So, KS, let our listeners know you have a great website set up. Let them know how they can stay connected with you as well as how they can support the new book.
Well, I have a Facebook page, author is KS Oliver. My main page is at Me Oliver. I do respond to everybody. I'm not as stuck up as people seem to think that I am. I love getting inboxes and emails with questions. Today I'm having a rough day. I don't care what it is. If it's talking to me and make you feel better, then so be it. Let's do it. I have a website, www.ksoliver.com. I have signed paperbacks on there of all of my books because I still like to have a book in my hand. And I appreciate everybody who pre-ordered them because I've sold quite a bit of pre-orders, and they all have their books. What else is on my website? T-shirts, Lupus T-shirts. I do a different design every year, something more personal than the ones we see online. I mean, it's great to order a shirt online, but sometimes you just want to feel like something was made just for you.
Right.
I also have cancer T-shirts. My little brother died of leukemia in 2006, so I also do a lot of work for the Make-A-Wish Foundation and, you know, leukemia awareness and things of that sort. AJ's Wish, one of my children's books, is about a little boy with cancer. Through our eyes, if anybody has children, under the age of, I'll say, about 11, who are still trying to come to grips with the parent having lupus. My children wrote me a book called Through Our Eyes, and it just gives you a better understanding of what your child feels like when they look at you and watch you deal with some of the things you deal with. And then their new release, which will be coming out next month, is called One Day, A Bullying Story. And it just gives you kind of an A to Z on a little girl being bullied and what she did to come out of it. And it basically just says, don't be silent. Being silent is part of the problem. If somebody is bullying you or making you feel any type of uncomfortable, you should let somebody know.
Exactly. Exactly. Again, encouraging messages from great books. KS, thank you so much for that. And look, it goes without saying, looking forward to staying connected with you.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Right, we appreciate you as well. For our listeners joining us on the radio side of our program, you all stay where you are. There's more Conversations Live to come at the bottom of the hour. For those joining us online, though, we are going to lose you. So if you came in late and you missed part of the conversation with KS, don't worry. Thanks to our online friends at blogtalkradio.com, you all can catch the podcast right after we go off the air. The link is already available on our social media sites at facebook.com/CyrusWeb, or go over to twitter.com/CyrusWeb. Click on that link. You can listen to the show completely for free. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying, as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Make sure you take out time to enjoy some good music as well as a great book. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live today. You all make it a great one.